Welcome to A Bit of Insight with Lisa Mosby, your weekly dose of health, wealth, and everything else.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. You know, transformation with honesty and humor. You're going to get a truckload of it today. I promise. Adulting is so hard. You know, do you need a better plan to get through the days, to get some rest, or start enjoying your life? We'll look no further because my guest today just might be able to shed some light on creating a wonderful life. Pour into the people in our lives. How do we show up and serve them? That's what we're talking about here. I am also an entrepreneur advisor. So I help people expand their brand, get noticed, get their word and their message out there, because it's important that we make a difference in the world. We want to be the change we see in the world today. So let me get started right away and bring in our guest. Tracy has a Norwegian name. She married into a Norwegian family. So I struggle with her last name, but it's Tracy Wynn Stavang, right? There it
got
is.
It.
Stavang.
You got it.
Tracy is passionate about helping individuals and organizations create a front row life by helping them get unstuck and thrive. Life is too short to be stuck and feeling defeated rather than determined. Tracy empowers with tools and strategies to create momentum, change, and success. Through her transformation coaching and training, her priority is creating the ahas and practical takeaways needed to increase work-life balance, accomplish goals, and create that front row life we all deserve. She inspires her audience with heart, honesty, and infectious humor. In addition, she has more than 25 years invested in individuals and teams as the director of education, teacher, trainer, coach, and clinical pastoral counsel. So you, counselor, you know that you're going to get some good stuff today. So welcome, Tracy.
Thank you. Wow. That's amazing. Thanks.
You're amazing.
That's a lot.
Folks, I have to tell you, when I met her at a Women's Business Bridge, so we'll put a plug in there. That's in Stillwater, yep. Minnesota. It's a great networking group. But we met, she was the guest speaker there, and I love it when I just walk in and I sit down because I get to know people on both sides of me. I had no idea she was the speaker for the day. That was where the seat was available, and we just connected, and we're like two peas in a pod and couldn't shut up, and it was just a great conversation. But the first image, Tracy, that you had up on your slideshow was some older women in the front row of a roller coaster, and then and they're like hair is flying and they're having a good time. And then the women in the business suits behind. And that's like my 20s. We're back there, 30s, maybe 40s. And now in my 50s, I have had a season pass to Disney World for the last 3 years. And I have not missed a roller coaster. So it's like, I have created that. So I was like, this woman needs to be my friend. I need to know who she is. But tell us how you got into transformational coaching and what inspired you to empower women that way.
That part of it has been this journey, right? Because for me, I love to use the phrase, I'm multi-passionate, because when someone's like, hey, Trace, what do you do? And I'm like, well, in what area would you like me to discuss? Because there's all parts of my life. And over the last 30-ish some years, which always feels weird because when you look at yourself and you think, I'm still like 29 mentally, like in my head, I'm like, maybe 39, I don't know. But over all these years, no matter what I've done, I started my career right after college, being an inner city teacher at a mission school where there were a large population. I was the minority because it was the most beautiful, diverse community I had 9 different cultures represented in my classroom. And it was amazing. And a lot of these kids were gang related, homeless. Also just, it opened this little girl from Nebraska. Like my life changed in a moment, understanding and living this. So I have gotten to journey with people over all these years, whether it was there, I did a mission plant in Arizona. And what I realized is that through working and teaching and all the different things I did, I was constantly working with people in that space of transformation. And I really wasn't getting paid for it. It was people would just come in my office or my classroom or wherever I was, and they would show up and we would walk through problems and we would figure out what the next steps. And so what I realized is, hey, maybe if you go back to school, you could get paid for this. People could come sit and hang out with you and actually pay you to do this as your job versus do your job and then do all this on the outside. And so this was this beautiful moment where I was like, I love this. And it's, yes, it was my aha. But I also realized that I kind of have a little addiction to the ahas. I love when something clicks for someone. I love when they see themselves more than what they grew up and they were told, or what they believe that the world says. You know, there's this weird, I can't remember the exact statistics, so I'll just kind of make it up. But it's the one where when men apply for a job, they apply for jobs that they're only like 60% maybe qualified for. And women apply for jobs that they are over 100% qualified for, because we don't value ourselves. We don't see ourselves with that. And so for me, it's being able to step into that arena with you and figure out where you're rocking it and where you're getting rocked, and just help you step up, level up, but see yourself as this beautiful creation and know who you are and whose you are, and really just get to live that out. And that front row life, that picture that you're talking about, these cute little old ladies are on this old fashioned roller coaster, and the front row, they're just sitting there. They're having a blast. They're laughing and they're holding their little skirts, and they have petticoats on and little bloomers. And they are just ridiculous, and pearls and flowers. And I want to like be with those grandmas. And the front row is having a blast. And the second row, they're smiling. And by the third row, they're like clutching their purses and they're just sitting there stoic. And I think about that, our lives in the front row. If you go to a concert and you're front row, which by the way, last night, my girlfriend calls me and she's like, get dressed right now. And I was like, what? And she's like, I'm picking you up in 20 minutes. She's like, I just won tickets to Billie Eilish. And I was like, I don't even know any Billie Eilish songs. She's like, let's go. I was like, I mean, what should I wear? I was like, crazy. But it's just like what you experience when you get free tickets in a booth or in a box, like yeah. Living life right there, right? That's what we want. We want that front row life. We know that you experience life different in that front row, because if you're sitting in the back, if you're sitting in the nosebleeds, you don't get the same experience. You watch it on a Jumbotron. If you're in a room and you're in the back, you are not absorbing the same stuff. And so that's my goal, is to help everyone create that front row life. And it looks different for everybody. Everybody's front row life is different. What I'm going after isn't what you're going after, or what, you know, some of my clients are going after. I have financial advisors that are clients. That is never going to be my front row, because numbers, like I spreadsheets, Excel, never going to be my front row, but man, I will wallpaper the front row of your room with that, if that's what you want. So that's, I think there's just such beauty in living our life to the fullest. And I think if I get to be an instrument of that, and especially for women, like helping them step into and owning that front row life, whatever that looks like, and we get to design it, or you get to level up, whatever it may be, I love being part of that. It's such a privilege, and it's just so much fun. It's so fun.
I use bucket list. I call it living my bucket list, or creating that bucket list life for me. Yours is front low. And the reason I tie it to bucket list is I've been to only 38 states. I know a lot of people have done them all, but 24 countries. I did my 24th country, which was Peru this last February. And so for me, it's like, I work to travel. I, you know, sold my house. I sold everything I own. I live in Airbnbs now. When 50 was kind of a magical age, like everything transformed. And we talked about that briefly as we got on here. When we turned 50, I say that, you know, I got a badge in the mail that says I'm officially now a wise woman. I can do anything I want. Nobody can tell me I'm doing anything wrong. It's official, you know, when you get into that range. And you had a different word for that when you get to 50, like, yeah, everything flies out the window and I'm just chill now. So But it's this mentality that we have, but it's not reserved for just women of their 50s or 60s or 70s. You know, we can start this at a younger age. We don't have to follow the norms. We don't have to, stay in our own lane. We can be all over the place. We can invite any kind of opportunity and experience into our life. but we need to be able to take the risk. And so what challenges do women face today in their own personal and professional lives that stop them, that create roadblocks, that cause us to get into a rut and stop enjoying and taking life by storm? What do you think?
I think so many things, right? I think we could take this in like lots of directions because women, right? There's just so much that comes at us. But I think for in my personal business and then what I've seen, it's that work-life balance. It's learning how to do it and do it well, especially if you're an entrepreneur. Like you're never off. You're never off. You're always on because it's your business. And so I think that is a huge part of it. Our work-life balance, the fact that we put ourselves last, it's that space where we don't shut down, we don't shut off our lives and the expectations. And so the more that things grow, the harder it is. And especially, I like to say, and I'm not the only one, that I'm a recovering people pleaser. And that is a hard thing to get over. When I was planning my wedding years ago, I realized that I had grown up in an environment where everything was questioned, and not necessarily mean, but like when I said something about like, I'm going to do red dresses, and the response that I got was, red? Really? Are you sure you want red? And it was in that moment and I was like, well, I'm going to do a square wedding cake. Square? Why wouldn't you do round? And it wasn't mean, but it was just, all of a sudden I had this moment of, I've had things questioned. And I realized, like, for myself, if you asked me two things and I'd be like, oh, this is, well, give me your bottom line and here we go. And I can make a decision for you. If I wanted to make a decision for myself, because I never trusted myself. And so it was such a big aha for me that I never could turn anything off because I didn't trust myself. So then I'd keep spinning my wheels. And I think for women, if you are working over like your business and then you've got family obligations and you've got friends and you've got all these things, we don't know how to say no. We don't know how to create a clear boundary. And what does that look like? Even in our workday, as simple as like scheduling yourself in, we're not good at that. We're not good at creating a balance. Our balance is usually way offset with what we give to others and what we give to ourselves. You know, and then we're working in the urgent and the reactive all the time. And that's no good for us. It doesn't give us a front row life. It gives us a
lot. So are there key elements? Yeah. Are there key elements? Like for me, my calendar, like it never leaves my side. I travel with it. It's oops, there it is. I pencil everything in and I pencil it. Like I called yesterday, I landed in Florida on Sunday and I found a mobile massage. So it's like, it went on the calendar this week because I was traveling for 7 days and it was long and it was hard. And it was like, I need to take care of me. I can't serve everybody if my back's aching and my belt's too tight. So, you know, I scheduled it in. So for me, it's a calendar, but do you find that there are key elements to successfully transform people's journey, to find this balance, to take care of themselves and still show up for everybody else?
I think the first step, yes, calendars are so, so important. Planning things out and getting things in your calendar, success is scheduled, right? We know that. And what's scheduled gets done. Those are great phrases. And it can be as simple as, I need a massage and this is why, and taking care of yourself. But most of the time, it is literally learning boundaries and learning the word no. And I call it being a no ninja. You have to have skills that cut through the BS, because if you don't have the ability to say no, and you're constantly pleasing people or you're waiting for approval or comparison, all those things, it doesn't help. You have to learn how to say no. And for so many people, especially women, no feels aggressive. No feels like you're being adversarial. No feels like, it feels like the opposite of advocating for yourself. And
you have to explain why you said no. You can't just say no.
No, right? I share this. One of my favorite authors, she says no is a complete sentence. And right? No is a complete sentence. And yet we feel like, oh, we have to justify it. Or, I mean, it's all that we do this all the time, right? Like, oh, cute jacket. Oh, I got it on clearance. Why? Like, thank you. How about thank you? Right? We have to justify. And so when the power of not justifying, and that goes with not justifying overwork, we justify overwork so much and working so hard and never slowing down and never taking care of ourselves. I'm sure that there was plenty of people that just heard you say, I scheduled a massage and be like, oh, that would be nice. Okay, yeah. Then do it. Just schedule it. Like, that's all you have to do. If you have the means, do it. Like, and if you don't have the means for that, then do something.
Groupon and find a Groupon coupon.
Yes. Or take a detox bath or, you know, I don't know what, something, but it's okay for you to take care of you. And I think as women, that is probably that work-life balance. And also, you know, I think we come up against a lot of things, right? The imposter syndrome or having to prove ourselves or justify ourselves. And again, it's okay. And maybe I see this. I've had this incredible blessing over the last couple of years is to work. I've worked with some moms that were business owners or, you know, and helping them, and their daughters have headed off to college, and they've messaged and said, hey, I need you to have a couple sessions with my daughter. And I've gotten this incredible. And when you were saying, like, it doesn't have to be in your 50s. I have these young women that are figuring things out and realizing that they want this crazy life and they're not exactly sure how to get there. And so it's been so fun for me to be a part of. I have a couple D1 athletes that are across the country, and it's just been such a fun journey with these young ladies that I'm kind of a little giddy about it because they teach me so much. I literally had to AI like phrases that they were saying, because I was like, I just like smile and nod. And then I was like, I am so old. I don't know what
somebody said that. Yeah. Now let's talk about goals. You know, what strategies do you use? Do you find most effective when you're helping them achieve goals? Like, how do you set goals? Because I just did an intention set. I call it an intention setting workshop because the word goal is like nails on a chalkboard for me. Like I live with that my whole life, and so now I use intentions or targets. And so the first thing I did was, all right, I'm going to say a few words, and I want you to tell me how you feel when I say the word goal. You know, write it down. How does that feel? When I say the word intention, how does that feel? And of course, you know, I had to use voice inflection because I really wanted them to get this.
You didn't want to set them up.
Yeah, totally. So, but how do you do that? Like, what are some strategies that you find effective kind of across 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, doesn't matter. Do you have some skills that or talents, things that secrets that you could share with the audience about goal setting and, you know, creating strategies for success in life?
Yes. Well, I wanted to start with, you know, you've heard the word smart, right? No. Actually, I shouldn't throw smart goals under the bus, but I will. Smart goals are great, right? They have their purpose, whatever. But this is the thing that I believe about that, right? Be specific, do all the things. But the R in smart is realistic. And that is ridiculous to me. If your goal is so realistic that it's going to keep you, like, no, have it be radical. Have it be ridiculous. Have it be something that scares the crap out of you. Because if we're going to talk actual goals, but I love intention, like if you want to level up, if you want a different front row life, it can't be realistic. Like, that's boring. Like, I don't want to just be, oh, let's be a realist at our goal. No, that keeps me in a box. I don't want to be in a box. But my secret sauce on goals is not necessarily setting. I think in coaching and all that, and you have a goal that you want to get to, but an intention or whatever you want to call it. But I love asking the miracle question. And because if I say, if you woke up tomorrow and you had already achieved everything you wanted, in this whatever area we're talking about or whatever healing you might need or the trauma that you're trying to get rid of, whatever it is, what would look different about you? What would sound different? What would people around you know? What would life be like? And I have them create me this beautiful masterpiece of what life would look like. And boom, that's where we're going. You just set all your goals without saying, I would like to have more confidence. I would like to get this promotion. I want, you know, I don't want to have whatever it is, FOMO all the time and have it set me back or please people. Instead, you say, I'd have confidence and I would live out this dream, or I would be a lawyer. okay, well, then why are we like, what's holding you back from being a lawyer? And so they know exactly where they're going. And then we just create that roadmap. And that
Yeah.
roadmap is the beauty, right? Versus it saying, my goal is to be a lawyer. My goal is to be an entrepreneur. My goal is to have X amount of clients. Okay. Well, if you just told me I have a full case, you know, caseload of clients or whatever it is, like, okay, then how do we get there? Because it's versus, and what does that look like? And you've already told me what you sound like, how you show up, what is in place to have that happen. They know it. My clients know it. Your clients know it. What it is that they want and what it looks like, because they've seen it probably in someone else.
Sure.
Right. And so they're able to say that. And then we just figure it out. And I think we're so hard on ourselves when we use the word goal. Because if you say, I mean, you can say it, I need 20 clients or I need to lose 20 pounds. It is a hard stop. And I love the thought of doing good, better, best goals. Because it gives us a little bit of leeway. And because if we hit 19 pounds, we don't celebrate that because we didn't hit 20, right?
I love the target idea from that. You know, the bullseye is the big number. And then I just got to hit the board and then, you know, just start to improve from there. Like there's so much leeway in using a target, you know, with a bow and arrow. Sometimes I'm going to miss, but the goal is to hit the target. And ideally, let's hit the bullseye. The big number's right in the middle. We know where we're headed, but you're not out of the game if you're at least hitting the target. So.
And so often we just take ourselves out of the game. If we hit the target, doesn't matter where we hit. We take ourselves out of the game because it wasn't the center. And that part is the hardest to get, because we are so like black and white, right? And we need to live in 50 shades of gray, the appropriate kind.
The other one was vision boards. You know, a lot of people have talked about vision boards and stuff. And I have to say, I have an amazing vision board. I've taken pictures of it. It is the screensaver on my iPad. It was the inside of my medicine cabinet in the bathroom. When I'd open it up and get my toothbrush, I would see it. I would like have the whole inside was decoupaged with my vision. And they were things like doing a hot air balloon ride, riding on the back of a Vespa with a good looking dude in front of me, you know, down the side of the island in Greece. So there's all these really cool pictures.
Oh, and I can picture him. I know exactly what he looks like.
Beautiful. I haven't met him yet. I totally know. So I've done a hot air balloon ride. Oh, and then I had an open road with an RV. And, you know, I put over 10,000 miles on my car in the last 4 months, going to Yellowstone in South Dakota for the Buffalo Roundup. And I've been all over the country. And so I'm living every single one of those pictures. And they're not goals of how much business I'm doing. The business part of it comes naturally because that's where I want to go. That's the life I want to live. That's what I want to do. And then it's easier for me to get naked with the numbers, where like, I got to make this many phone calls every day. I got to make this many, you know, presentations. This is the work that I need to do to move my business forward. And so that's how I'm taking what you're saying and applying it to like how I've implemented it. Like, how have I implemented it in my life already? And kind of what I coach and teach on too. So I love that we share that same, it comes from a place of passion. It's not a head place. In your intro, we talked about you come from heart and humor. Like, let's have fun with this. Let's come from the heart, not from the head. Like, what are we supposed to do? Nothing.
Right.
There is no and supposed to. Yeah.
I love how I can see your front row life, right? I can see that you created that and you do what it takes to stay in that front seat. Right.
Yeah.
And that's the part that's so powerful. Like, what do I need to do to get there and then stay there? Like, perfect. You might not love picking up the phone, but you'll pick it up because it allows you to go to the, would you say Buffalo Run Roundup?
South Dakota, Custer State Park.
Come on.
And I have friends in Africa, but it's like, that's not in my budget. But there's a Buffalo Roundup and it's kind of like the same thing, only a few million less.
Basically the same thing, right?
Yeah, basically,
Not only you could have the cute Greek man.
Cowboys. On the Vespa, there was cowboys.
I was like, you could find a cowboy. Like, why? Come on. Right? Your own Yellowstone. There you go.
I did. Yeah. Yellowstone and Custer State Park. We found the cowboys. Yeah. So let's talk about like mindfulness self-care practices around this. You know, yes, I'm doing this, but it took me a while to get my life to line up this way. It didn't happen overnight. So there's behaviors, there's mindfulness, there's self-care practices, there's, you know, mental attitude. Like, how do you set yourself up mentally every day to do what needs to get done to get to that point where you get to live that life? Shine some light on that. Like, what are your kind of mindsets?
I think before you can get to that mindfulness, you have to get to the what's holding you back, right? What's keeping you stuck? Because if you don't go after your limiting beliefs, if you don't go after, you know, not everybody has big T trauma in their life, but we've all got things in our life, maybe little T. Like you ask anybody, like, tell me what like your worst memory of grade school is. Everybody's like, well, I was on the playground and this girl said, and blah, you know, I didn't get invited to the birthday party. You know what? That as a 52-year-old, you're like, okay, I didn't get invited to the birthday party. I can get over that, but not my little Tracy, not my little self. Like I got left out and it sucked, you know? And so maybe I developed this, like, I don't want to be left out. So we got to figure out getting through those limiting beliefs that we've had sometimes from when we were little that we don't even realize took root. We, from other jobs, whatever, relationships, we bring that stuff in. And so we got to figure out where you're stuck, where, because you can go through the motions, but if you want to keep yourself in that front row, if you want to keep living your bucket life, you got to deal with your own stuff, because otherwise everybody's going through it to get to you. And or you're wading through a whole bunch of junk to live that life. And why? It's that release. It's that huge piece of it. So I think the limiting beliefs, figuring out, I use the phrase non-negotiable all the time. Every one of my clients will be like, here she goes. She's got the non-negotiables again. But when we're talking about anything, I'll be like, well, what's your non-negotiable on this? And so often we don't think of what's my bottom line. What is the thing I'm not going to cross? Where do I stand? Where's my value? Where's my belief? What am I going to hold true in this instance? And so when we start doing that, when we start kind of chipping away at our limiting beliefs, when we start chipping away at what we've compromised and we shouldn't have, or all those things, then we can open the doors to mindfulness or self. I like self-compassion also more than I say self-care, because it's that act of taking care of me, right? And sometimes taking care of me looks like scheduling a massage, like you said. Sometimes taking care of me looks like being with the person that makes me belly laugh that I can't like see straight. And that's the part of, and it might be like holding a baby. It doesn't matter. Like, what do I need to do to care for myself in this time, in this season, in what it is, so that I can go after stuff? So I think that for me, that mindset. The other thing is, I went through a training with Brené Brown and with her materials. I didn't really get to hang out with Brené Brown because that would have been really cool. I almost promoted myself as someone so cool that Brené hangs out with me. Like, I'm so fun. I'm so, so fun. But I was going through this training, the Daring Greatly training. And as I was going through it, it was such an incredible experience because they had us go through it twofold. So we would learn the material, but we had to go through it as basically as we were getting that therapy ourselves or that process, right? So we had to do it for ourselves, learn it. They would give it to us as an instruction. We'd walk through whatever point it was. Then we'd have to go back and learn it as a practitioner. And I was like, it was exhausting. But it was amazing because you learn so much about yourself. But one of the things that I learned, and I think this goes into that whole mindset piece, is that she calls it, I'll keep it G-rated, but your crappy first draft. And she said, every writer is like, when they send their stuff in for their book or their whatever, they have this crappy first draft and it gets lines marked through it. But she's like, in life, we have this crappy first draft that when an experience happened to us, when we didn't get the promotion, when something happened in our childhood, whatever it is, we frame our beliefs and stuff around that first draft. And she's like, as an adult, as someone, you can go back and rewrite that story. Because if you believe you have this limiting belief, that you've held on to. And it could have been from the, I got left out and like, no one wants me. It could be something you have this belief. And so you have a hard time breaking into circles and networking and promoting yourself because you don't feel like you have enough value because you learned that when you were young. She talks about you go through the work to rewrite your story. What's the story? Like you get a brand new draft and you get to create the real story versus this first draft that someone else had influence on your whatever, maybe your age, your, you know, experience, whatever it is, taught you that this is what it is, but and created that limiting belief or that way you see that perspective of the world or yourself, and you get to change it. And that for me was one of the most powerful things. And that's where the concept is be curious, like be curious, like figure this out. And I love that phrase, like step back, be curious. Like, is this really what I believe? Is this really what I deserve? Is this really where I'm going? And sometimes it's like, yes, this is where I'm going. And sometimes it's like, no, I am on the wrong bus. I'm moving. Like I'm wrong train. Boom, I'm off. Right. And it's just be curious. Have the things I've been telling myself about all these different things, like, you know, it can be in any arena, professional or personal. Are they true? Or are they just real to me? And I made them my truth. That's the thing, right? And that's where before we hit mindfulness, before we, you know, do this, we gotta figure out, are we living in stuff that is real and true? Because when we stop living in our own personal truth, that's where we get stuck, right? We can't go any further. So I love that learning completely changed things for me. And just that phrase, be curious.
Yeah.
And
it comes back to the beginning when you said you were a recovering people pleaser. For me, I'm a recovering perfectionist. Like I won't take action until I know I've got it down and I have everything perfect. And I think curiosity allows us room to fail. You know, when we are so afraid to fail, like I made this decision, I have to stick with it. And it's like, no, I don't. I hate it. I'm miserable. I will never learn to play the piano. I can't read music. My fingers don't move that way. I'm going to go be a singer. So what, you know, get out of those things that no longer serve you. Like you may have gone down that route because your mother or your grandmother or somebody else did it. And you think it's what you're supposed to be doing. When we get curious about and figure out who we want to be, like we get to choose. And I think a lot of times we fall into the trap of letting others be in charge of our life, letting others choose how we're going to show up or choose what we're going to do. And so we can be recovering people pleasers. We can be recovering perfectionists. We can get curious, ask questions, delve in, try things, have experiences, and then pick the ones that you want to keep and let go of the ones that you don't, because it doesn't matter. It's not failure. One of the things I remember doing with when I touched ice skating classes or taught hockey, you know, skating. Back in high school, I was teaching girls. And the first thing I did was I had them lay down or skate to the red line and fall down on their knees, spread out and get as wet as they could, and then stand up and do it again on the blue line and do it again on the red line to teach them to fall. Yes. In order to teach them to skate, I had to teach them to fall because they were going to fall. They were going to get checked. They were going to fall over. They were going to trip on a hockey puck or a stick. But if they were afraid of falling, they would never become great skaters. And I think that's true in life, is sometimes we are so caught up in the idea of I might fail, we don't even get off the starting line. So
no, and we don't teach. I didn't get taught like fail forward. I don't know if you've ever heard Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx.
Yeah.
Let's just take a moment to say thank you. Thank you for Spanx. Thank you for all the suck it in and all the things, right? Like, yes, Sarah Blakely, definitely one of my heroes. But she says, I heard her speak, and she was the keynote speaker at a leadership thing. And she talked about how at their dinner table, like you had to come to the table with something to say. And she was like, my dad never was interested in, like, if I got 100% on my math test, he did not care. He didn't care at all. He would be like, how did you fail today? And he would be like, how did you fail? And he was like, and then what did you do about it? And she's like, so I failed. And she's given all these ways that she failed. And she's like, and so what did I do about it? And she'd say, boom, boom. And I just loved that thought. Like he sat around she's like, most parents care if their kids have A's. Nope. He's like, how'd you fail? What did you do wrong today? Like, tell me what you did wrong and how you fixed it. Like, and he taught them that like failure was it wasn't just like, it's an option, it's life, but we don't ever celebrate that stuff. And I loved that concept. And like you said, what happens if we fail forward? What happens if we take that learning and we use it to our advantage versus making it us feel like we're a failure? Instead, we use it as our leverage. That is a game changer. It's an absolute game changer. And if we want to spend the next 30 minutes, I can tell you all the way I have failed over and over and over.
I invite you back for that.
Do you want to have a failure podcast? Because I am on it.
I think we should, you know, invite people right in to share their failures, because it's not the failure that matters. It's the recovery of it. It's the, and what did you do about it? Like, we don't forget that part of the sentence, because I would venture to guess every person listening to this podcast has had a failure and they recovered from it. Something happened out of that. Something good happened out of it. And that's what we need to focus on.
You must be realizing right now that you are sitting in it. So stand up. Like, it's time to stand up, pull those boots on and move, right? Because failure does not define us unless we let it. And that's the thing, right? I don't want to be defined by that. I want to be defined by what I did from that and what I learned from that and where I grew from that. And that's the transformation process, right? Right there. Because sometimes we're in charge of the failure, sometimes we're not. And I don't know if failure is my favorite word, but right now, like, things don't always go as planned. Like, they just don't.
All sure. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Whatever the word the moon, is, failure, the stars. Failure seems a little aggressive for 8:30 in the morning, but whatever.
It is. In our minds, we make it out to be failure or fear, but it's really not that bad. It's a learning experience. It's a curiosity of experiences.
Well, and that's the point. You know, that's the beauty of a coach or a trusted mentor, because there are things, and I said it before, but this is one of the most powerful things, is there are things that are real that we make our truth, right? So failure might've been real, but that is not your truth. That is not who you are. And there's scripture. When I was forming my business years ago, I was trying to be so businessy. I was trying to be so businessy. And I was like, okay, here's the values of my business. And here's my mission statement. And here's all the things that I thought, because I have education degree, I have all these things, and I have an entrepreneurial spirit. But yeah, remember how I feel about Excel sheets? That's how numbers. I feel about business plans and all that adulting. No, I just want a free spirit. A free range chicken, I think, is what I usually call myself. I just like to go for what it is and speak up. But I remember just trying to figure out and be so like appropriate and all these things. That's not who I am. And what I realize is that my faith is such, like, that is the core of who I am and how I, even if I have a client that's not a super strong believer, or that, like, that's always going to be my lens. That's how I'm going to get there. And I won't, that's just important to me. And there's a scripture in John where Jesus gives this beautiful thing where he says, I have come so you could have life to the fullest. And in John 10:10. And when he says that, what he means is, I came to earth so that you could experience heaven, like eternity, heaven this side of eternity. Like, we're supposed to have awesome things. We're supposed to have joy. We're supposed to have friendships and love and laughter and all those things. And all the blessings of life, we are supposed to experience that. But at the first part of that verse, he says, the thief has come to rob, steal, and destroy, right? Well, what is the thief? They're stealing our joy, our confidence, all the things that make us that brilliant person that's experiencing this beautiful glimpse of heaven, right? It gets stolen from us so easy. And that front row, even when we're trying so hard, we find ourselves in the fifth row, right? Because we're back too far. And so I think that reminder, and I was like, that's the foundation. If I can remind people to not let your joy be stolen, your confidence, all the things that you're going after, if you take away the things that are stealing that, you get that beautiful slice of heaven. That's what we want. That's the goal right there. I want everyone to experience that slice of heaven. And my slice of heaven looks different than your slice of heaven. Although I do like your heaven. I like the cowboys and the, like, I'm not going to let my husband watch this. He'll be feel like you talked about cowboys.
You like them for me. I understood exactly.
I like
what
them for you, and I like to admire.
Me too. You know, somebody, we didn't define the word transformational. When we dove in here, we said transform with honesty and with humor. And I think people got the point. So transforming is like, how do we look at life? How do we approach it with a little bit more joy, a little bit more grace, a little bit more guidance, and a whole lot more fun. Yes. If people are on the fence about seeking transformational coaching or finding a mentor to help them walk this path to get the life that they want, to get curious, try new things, any advice that you can share with them?
I think there's a great quote that's like, what you don't change is a choice. So if there's a thing that you're like, I want to grow this way, I don't know how, that's how you do it. And yes, coaching, I love coaching, obviously that's what I do. But in our lives, there are three types of people that I think everybody should have. They should have a mentor, someone that makes you level up, someone that multiplies the stuff within you. That's what coaches do. That's what mentors do. They just love you, but they expect more out of you. They push you. They help you. That's what you want, that person. And you want your cheerleader. That's the second person. You need that person that's your cheerleader right next to you that just believes in you. And then you want someone that you are the mentor to, right? We all got that. So I think for you, it's just having that awareness that something needs to change. And that's where you get started. You start with one thing. You start with one thing and you seek out people that are doing it. You seek out the coach that's doing it, whatever that can help you do it. But yeah, figure out the one thing that you want to move on and seek out how you can get there. And the last
there's
time
a book, a free webinar, or actually hiring a mentor or coach. Yes. Like, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to go all in. Stick your toe in the water. If you're on the fence about this, start moving in that direction. Get curious. What's out there? What's available? Because there are lots of books. There's podcasts. Brené Brown has some great podcasts. Simon Sinek, too, is another. I love the two of those two together. I've been listening to some series that they've done, and they're just so fun.
I'm positive because I was on your stuff. Like, they can go back and rewatch stuff that you have. Like, there is absolutely, you can download ChatGPT and put in there like first steps in transforming my like confidence, if that's your issue, right? ChatGPT will be like 3 seconds later, well, here you go. Here's a step-by-step plan. Right.
And a whole worksheet, a whole workbook.
Yes, I got a whole worksheet for you. Right? Yeah. It is literally just taking one brave step, right? Yeah. One brave step. That's it. Yeah. One brave step, whether that's contacting someone, looking up a book, a podcast, whatever. You have so much, so much to your disposal. So
how do people contact? So that we're kind of coming to the end here. So that was a perfect lead in. How do people contact you? How do people get in touch with you? Where do they find you?
You can find me. My website is Wynn Coaching, WINN, coaching.com. And just Tracy@wincoaching.com. You can find me on my social media game is maybe a less than stellar, but you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Wynn Coaching as well.
And next week it'll be even more stellar because we're going to talk about that after the show.
Yes. Lisa's got me hooked up. That is where I need to take my step and level up is my getting myself out there. And so, I mean, you can find me easily, but I am excited to take that to the next level myself and squash that insecurity because there are people like you that make it easy, right? And make it, right? That's why I like to call them my little security blankets, right? Just pick one and there we go. Lisa's my new.
Yeah. So I would encourage you to find her on either Facebook or Instagram and leave her a love note, you know, leave her a comment that says, girl, get out there and spread the word because you're amazing. We can tell by this interview how gifted and talented you are. And just the way that you bring your message across from the heart and with humor you didn't disappoint. This was exactly what I wrote. I wrote the title before the show because I knew who you were and I knew how you were going to show up here today. So thanks for giving it your all and really pouring into our audience. And I hope people do reach out. Leave her a love note. You know, I call them Valentines when people leave me comments because this, like, they're nice things. And I try to delete the ones that are not nice. If people leave bad ones, or I go, oh, they're having a bad day, so I'll reply, I love you. Right. Just because they need a little love.
You don't have to be curious about those people. Just delete and move on.
Nope. Nope. Not at all. Yeah. Nope. Send them a little energy, a little love. We should, I should have you come back. We should talk about manifestation. I'm so curious where you come in on manifestation. That would be an interesting topic. We might do that. Stay tuned. I'm going to talk to her and see if I can bring her back. Okay, guys. That's a wrap. Find her on social, Instagram and Facebook are the two places that you'll find Tracy. Come on back next week. And if you need any help expanding your brand on social media, I'm your girl. Give me a call. My website is Lisa Mosby, MOSBEY.com. And you can book time with me, grab a 30-minute spot, and we'll talk about what you're doing for your social media plan and how we can expand that, how we can spread your message further, farther, faster. I'm here for you. Just reach out. Thanks, everybody. Come on back next week. Thanks for joining me on A Bit of Insight. To get more involved with our wellness community, grab a copy of my book, Live Well, Travel Far, or to explore our travel offerings, visit the website at insightcenterforwellness.com. And if today's episode gave you something to think about, leave a review and please share it with a friend. This is Lisa Mosby reminding you to live well, travel far, and always follow your insight.